Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweeps. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we got a kind of a different topic for us. It's the title of the podcast is The Reincarnation of Bridie Murphy. So this podcast is about a book that was written back in the early 1950s in which a hypnotist did some regression with a young lady and took her back to a previous life. And it created quite a stir, Brandy, back in the 50s.
Imagine it did.
So we're going to talk about it. It's kind of an interesting story. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Mistress of the Macabre, the Empress of Evil, pill-popping, penis-loving, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Since I'm the only one that's going to tell you that today, I thought I would do it publicly.
Actually, thank you. I appreciate that. I do not get a lot of Valentine wishes. So
no, you're going to be sad
Chrissy
and alone.
Didn't send you something, Timmy?
And now Chrissy and I have decided that we're going to...
No, wait. Chrissy and you didn't decide anything.
If you didn't miss our last podcast, I was getting texts by a... dancer, a ballerina, I believe.
No. Nope.
I don't believe she worked for the ballet
so.
To me. Dancers for the ballet are quick to tell you that dancers yeah. for the ballet.
And she was a dancer. She told me she was a professional dancer. I took her at her word.
Her thigh tattoo would say different.
Anyway, yes, it didn't seem to work out. So we
were. Oh, I know. Already flamed out.
Well, you know, well, it's like a butterfly. It was very beautiful, but very short-lived.
Well, and you know, it's hard to have a relationship, any kind of relationship with somebody who doesn't remember things like, you know, JFK or
where did I meet you
or yeah
do I know you
or you know world they don't remember things like you know World War II or
9/11
yeah, yeah I mean when they look at you blankly when you say we used to have a tape player
yeah
then you know maybe that's not the one for you
yeah oh well it was you know very beautiful but it was short-lived
no it was pretty not beautiful
it was pretty vile and disgusting
a little bit vile
let me introduce the really the moral compass of our podcast a man who is known for his charity work he of course is
nope.
the face of Bloody Stool the very honorable the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman how are you today Colonel
oh I'm not pleased Timmy
What's wrong, Carl?
I'm not pleased. I look up last night, get ready to go to bed.
Yeah, you had your stocking cap on.
I have my...
He'd had his Sanka.
I have my Sanka. And I look on our Facebook page, and I see that someone has sullied the good name of the mighty general.
Who was... No, first of all, look, I'm behind you on this, but we're not doing general. You did not, Captain Crunch, not get a fucking promotion.
Well, okay. First of all, you're not behind him on this because you chimed in, too.
I did.
So I have been forced, Timmy. You have sullied the reputation of my manhood.
Well, let's explain what came up. I made a post on our Facebook page coming out against penis shaming.
Penis shaming.
And it was on your behalf because you were made fun of in high school at gym class.
I was not
made fun of. Because you're a giver.
Yeah.
And I knew, Colonel, you don't like to talk about yourself. And I knew you you would not want to bring it up. So I, you know.
But today, Timmy, I felt that I could not let such such egregious libel and slander stand.
Libel and Timmy? Slander.
About penis shaming?
So I have a dossier that my representative, my legal representative, let's call her the advocate devil, will present to refute your slanderous lies.
Is it a photo of his junk?
He's paying me like $50 for this, so.
Yes.
I say, what are you going to say?
Well,
we have Exhibit A. That would be a picture of the Colonel's penis.
That is the Washington Monument. So, no, it's not.
I have a letter from the lovely Mrs. Colonel.
You want to read it, Brandy?
Yeah. This is from Renee, but not at all. Having been with the Colonel for many years, I can honestly state without prejudice or equivocation that the Colonel has substantial PED-free genitalia. And it appears to be signed in her hand, with her hand.
Okay, I don't believe that.
And Exhibit C is a sworn affidavit by someone very famous, Timmy.
Who is that?
Well, this is a sworn affidavit. Personally, let's see. Okay, so she personally came and appeared before me, the undersigned notary, the within-named Linda Lovelace, who is a resident of Orange County, state of California, and makes this or her his or her statement and general affidavit upon oath and affirmation, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I solemnly swear that the Colonel's gigantic penis made me choke, effectively ending my porn career.
Linda Lovelace.
And it was signed today,
the 14th
day of February, which is amazing because she's dead, but yeah. Whatever. So those are all of his proofs.
Okay, $50. we will enter that into the record, Colonel.
Oh, it's entered into the record.
I want that entered into the record.
Okay.
I want my $50.
The Colonel and Timmy, we were sitting around here thinking, you know, you're so kind to us and what we are charitable causes, and we don't talk enough about what you do, Timmy.
No, that's okay. I don't want to bore people with that.
Well, no, because...
Remember, I have the power to edit.
And yeah, no, but you don't know how.
But not the ability.
Yeah, the power, but not the ability. And we was talking about you're not recognized for all the work you do for the Gonorrhea Foundation.
Well, so, I give till it hurts.
You, I know. You're part of the
Drippy Pecker Patrol.
So, if I'm going to be the face of erectile dysfunction, you should be...
And penis shaming.
And you should be recognized as the face of the drippy dick.
Yes.
Okay. I will accept that.
Because you hang around with those women like those ballerinas.
Yeah, but not Chrissy, because Chrissy and I never met.
That are basically chlamydia traps.
Okay, Colonel. I will take your counsel under consideration.
I don't think he will.
I don't think you will.
Yes.
I think that we've set the record straight on a colonel's penis.
I don't think we have, but that's okay. Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Do you want to see my penis?
Nope. Nope.
I'm good. All right.
I've just barfed a little in the back of my throat talking about it, so...
Yeah, you were you jumped right in there on that thread. So if you're not on,
I did jump in on the thread.
If you're not on our Facebook group page,
no less.
Please join us. It's History Dweebs podcast because we talk about important things like penis shaming.
Well, and the world changing things. Yes. I mean, these are
things that in.
I also called you human menstrual cramps. So
you did. What was that? What was that
made me happy. It made me happy to do that.
All right, let's get to our Patreon shout outs. We want to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. It helps us defray the cost of putting on this podcast, and we really, really do appreciate it. We got some new members, so we want to make sure we get to everyone. So let me thank all of those of you who support us on Patreon. Alicia and Chip, thank you very much. Jen Moyer, Jason Dykes, Phyllis Munson, Brandy McBride, TJ Young, Diane Student with the History Goes Bump podcast, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Dr. Jeff and his lovely wife, Dawn. Thank you very much. Amber Scoville, Jahara, Andrew Happ, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Joe Hopkins, Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast. I just listened to their latest episode. I would encourage you to do the same. It's really good. Cindy Liu, Heather Poole. We got a couple new sponsors. Scott with the Killer Cults and Nut Jobs Podcast. Thank you, Scott, for your donation. And a special shout out to Lydia and her sister, Ruth Ann, who is turning 21 on Monday, on the 20th, I believe.
On the 20th.
And Lydia Ruth Ann introduced Lydia to our podcast. So thank you both, Lydia and Ruth. And we've got a special birthday shout out to Ruth, and it's going to come from the Colonel.
This is to you, Ruth. Have a special 21st birthday. And remember, get an Uber. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ruth Ann. Happy birthday to you.
Yay.
Now, see, that was nicer than that cat in the lawnmower thing that you usually pull off when you're singing. Don't do it.
Yeah, my Bee Gees.
Happy birthday. Thank you. And happy birthday, Ruth Ann. We hope you have an awesome 21st birthday. My 21st birthday was about 45 years ago.
It was. You're very old.
Yes. And we also, I forgot to thank.
She's a very pretty girl. You know what?
She is. She's a very
And I got a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old. So she 21, she far right in between. She could take a pick of either one of them.
Haven't you already committed one to Beverly's daughter?
Oh, yeah. Logan's already spoken for. He's going to Beverly's daughter, yeah.
Okay. But you've got...
I got Taylor.
Taylor. Young, talented young man.
He's in a band.
We also need to give a shout out to Rudy the Wonder Dog, who supports us by giving us $1 a month.
You know how many bullshit. Milk bones that is?
It's bullshit.
He's giving up a box of milk bones a month for you.
I don't think so.
If he gets them at Ollie's.
I don't think so. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, a lot, or...
Just a wee tiny bit.
Every little thing helps, and we certainly do appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right, let's get into the reincarnation of Bridey Murphy. Reincarnation, Brandy. Reincarnation, Brandy, is a philosophical or religious concept that a living being starts a new life in a different physical body or form after each biological death.
You know, here's to hoping that happens.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm looking for a new body, too.
I want to be reincarnated.
I want a new vessel.
I want Katy Perry's body.
It is the central tenet of many major religions, Colonel.
I don't want to be Big Bertha when I come back.
Including Buddhism.
I wouldn't want to be one of her moles.
And Hinduism. In fact, the majority of the vast world's population believe in reincarnation in some form or another.
Well, that's just crazy.
Well, don't besmirch other people's beliefs.
I just besmirched most of the world.
Could you not? You know, I think we're in enough trouble with the rest of the world. Could you not help it along?
Yeah, she makes a good point there. And you know, I'm with you on the penis shaming. I support you.
His drippy dick supports you. So there's that.
In the United States, the case of Bridey Murphy brought world attention.
Charlie Murphy's sister.
No.
Audie Murphy's little niece.
Murphy's cousin.
The case of Bridey Murphy brought attention to the notions of past lives, reincarnation, and the use of hypnotic regression to reveal hidden memories. In 1952, a woman named Virginia T., the wife of a Colorado businessman, was hypnotized by an amateur hypnotist named Maury Bernstein. During the session...
That sounds like a vaudeville act to me. Mm.
During her session, she gave a very detailed account of her past life as an Irish woman named Bridie Murphy, claiming to have been born in 1798 and to have died in 1864. Bernstein recorded T's recollections in a series of other sessions. So they did this for about a year. And then it became the basis of a 1956 book entitled The Search for Bridie Murphy. They changed Mrs. T's name in the book to Ruth Simmons. So if you hear us referring to Ruth Simmons, it's still the same person. So the search for Bridie Murphy was the name of the book. It became a bestseller and was later made into a movie. And many people, it became kind of a sensation at the time, and many people started looking into the whole concept of reincarnation. Within months of the book's publication in January 1956, it created such a cultural brush fire, elevating hypnotism into something of a national mania and laying the groundwork for a later surge in interest in reincarnation and channeling. Publications started with a optimistic press release of 10,000 copies. It would go on to sell more than a million. And it made its way to the New York Times bestseller list. So before too long, a whole new crop of amateur hypnotists were performing at parties all over the country and trying to regress people to go back to previous lives. By the time the movie, The Search for Bridie Murphy, came out in 1956, the book had been published in over 30 languages in 34 different countries. It would soon become the most famous case of past life regression and create a media frenzy. So let me tell you a little bit about people involved. Maury Bernstein was a successful business owner of Bernstein Brothers and turned it into a thriving business dealing with heavy equipment, plumbing supplies. Maury Bernstein, when he took it over, it was a family business. He made it flourish even more, developed a large mail order operation specializing in ranch equipment and supplies. For all of Mr. Bernstein's business success, the incident that would change his life came when he came to a party in the early 1940s and saw a friend perform hypnotism as a parlor trick. Mr. Bernstein was so impressed that he became an amateur hypnotist himself, reading everything he could on the subject and hypnotizing his country club friends, sometimes just for the novelty of it, but also sometimes to help people cure things like chronic headaches or help people stop smoking, that sort of thing. Virginia T. was a 27-year-old housewife of a businessman in Pueblo, Colorado, when she met her husband was a business associate of Morty Bernstein, and they met at a dinner party, and they discussed his interest in hypnosis with Virginia. After experimenting with some age regression, the two agreed to see if she could remember anything before her birth. And these tapes, by the way, I asked our sound man, our sound expert, if he could pull these tapes, because they're out on YouTube. And I thought it would be so cool if we could play them on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I asked Chuck about a week ago if he could pull that.
You did tell me it was during this episode.
And it hasn't happened yet. So
it's a good thing I was sitting down for that.
Yes.
Well, if I would have known we was going to do this episode, I would have done it. It only takes 5 minutes.
Uh-huh. Anyway, you can find this. You just search on YouTube Bridie Murphy tapes, and you'll be able to listen to these because they're still around. Anyway, so they regressed Mr. Bernstein regressed Virginia back through her life. He spoke to her about her life as a 7-year-old. As a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, etc. He kept going further and further back in time. Much to his surprise, though, when he asked her to go back before this life, Mrs. D started speaking in a mild Irish dialect, and she went on to describe her life as a woman named Bridie Murphy. That should have been, yeah, it would have been interesting to see, don't you think, Brandy?
I do, but I go to the psychic fair, so, yeah, so that shit's pretty commonplace.
She came to be a woman named Bridie Murphy, born in the town of Cork, Ireland. Isn't your family from Cork, Colonel?
Kilkenny, Timmy.
Okay. And she was claimed to be born in 1798 and went on to describe in considerable detail a life lived in the 19th century Ireland. While under hypnosis, T told Morty Bornstein that over 100 years ago, she was an Irish woman named Bridie Murphy who went by the nickname of Bridie. During their sessions together, Bernstein marveled at the detailed conversations Bridie spoke of, and as I said, her distinct Irish dialect. It's hard to understand. I listened to the tape, and it's really hard to pick up what she's saying, but it's interesting. More than just a few vague details, she, over this course of several sessions, made a number of statements which were potentially capable of being verified. For example, she recounted having been born to her father by the name of Duncan, who was a barrister, colonel, just like your friend Nicola.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lawyer. And her mother's name was Kathleen. She also married a Catholic man named Brian McCarthy, who was also an attorney.
Hmm.
She described her death after a fall down a staircase in 1864 at the age of 66.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt.
Further, she named a number of places, including names of locations that have long since been renamed, but were in use in the 19th century Ireland, as well as acquaintances from her previous life, in very much detail. And she would use these archaic terms that only someone who had studied the local dialect of Ireland would have recognized. She correctly named several household items by their proper 19th century terms and identified the currency of the era, which was different than it is today. So she would have no way of knowing these things as just a normal housewife from Colorado. So Brandy's going to tell us what happens next during these regressions.
Tell us, Devil. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. In all, she made more than 24 specific statements that provided precise details of a verifiable nature, many of which were later demonstrated to be correct. She did all of this with no prior knowledge about or interest in Ireland or Irish folklore, history, or customs. And we are told possessing no prior interest in reincarnation either.
Great. Yeah, she was...
She wasn't Shirley MacLaine.
No, she was a devout Catholic. So she didn't... Even to her death, time she died, she never believed that she had been reincarnated. She never believed it.
When Bernstein published his book about the case, The Search for Bridie Murphy, in 1956, it became famous around the world and sparked an excited interest in the possibility of reincarnation. Over six sessions, Virginia revealed many details about Bridie's life, including her birthday in 1798, her childhood amid a Protestant family in the city of Cork, her marriage to Sean Brian Joseph McCarthy, and even her own death at the age of 60 in 1858. So she lived a long time for that time.
Yeah, 60-some years.
Well, 60.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, it was... Yeah.
And you know what else? At the psychic fair, you can sit down and people will tell you all about your past lives.
Really?
Yes, I was a nun in a past life.
Yeah.
That's what the bitch said. Whatever, scoffers. As Bridie, she provided numerous specifics, such as names, dates, places, events, shops, and songs, things Virginia was always surprised about when she woke up from hypnosis.
You ever been put under hypnosis?
Yes.
How about you, Colonel?
I have. I got kicked out of therapy because I would not let him hypnotize me.
My dad can do it.
Were you aware mm-hmm. of you when you were under?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it wasn't like you were asleep. You know where you're saying.
No. But my dad...
I've been in relaxed states before, but I don't think I've ever been in.
My dad went to the FBI Academy, and they teach you how to do that shit at the FBI Academy.
Okay.
So, evidently I was like a fucking guinea pig. So, Virginia herself was born in the Midwest in 1923, had never been to Ireland, didn't speak with even the slightest hint of an Irish accent. But could these details be verified? The results of many investigations were mixed. Much of what Bridie said was consistent with the time and the place, and it seemed inconceivable that someone who had never been to Ireland could provide so many details with such confidence. However, journalists could find no historical record of Bridie Murphy, not her birth, her family, her marriage, or her death.
Which wouldn't be that unusual since...
No, I mean, it's... Yeah.
Record-keeping of 1860 wasn't the best.
Right. Believers supposed that this was merely due to the poor record keeping of the time.
You know what will be happening is like now with the internet and stuff, if someone has past like regressions in the future.
And it goes to the 70s, then
yeah, you should be able to verify pretty easy.
However.
Go to their Facebook page.
Oh, but critics discovered inconsistencies. Well, that's true.
Go to their Tinder account.
Critics discovered inconsistencies in Bridie's speech. And also learned that Virginia had grown up near and had known well an Irish woman named Bridal Corkle.
Yeah, what they did is once this story became popular and it became a bestseller and a movie came out, so they started getting investigative reporters. But what they didn't do, some of them focused on Bridie, but a lot of them started focusing on Virginia to see if there was anything in her background that would lead to her maybe, you know, coming up with these stories.
There were flaws in this theory, too, however, keeping the case of Bridie Murphy an intriguing mystery. The famous Bridie Murphy case not only remains one of the most famous past life memory cases on record, but is also notable for being one of the few that has been both successfully debunked and subsequently undebunked.
Yeah, so you have a myth busters and then the myths busters busted.
There you go.
Yeah, something like that.
That was work for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Though savaged by its critics within months of the story's release in 1956.
I was well-spoken in a previous life.
Well, clearly.
he was one of those auctioneers.
Could you imagine Timmy as
a fucking auctioneer?
No. He's a goddamn town crier. That's what he was. He was a dream squasher in a previous life. And this one.
And this one, too.
Yeah.
And a slanderer.
Yes, much a slanderer.
He's a yellow journalist.
That was yellow
journalism, Timmy.
Penis shaming.
It's fake news.
That was fake news. Yeah.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Oh, really?
Fake news.
Fake news. That's, you know what?
You're showing me a picture of the Washington Monument claiming it's his penis, and you're telling me it's fake news?
First of all, I claim nothing. I was merely reading because I was being paid.
Yeah.
I'm like Walter Cronkite.
She was the advocate devil.
I am, yeah.
You know you're never getting paid and done.
In the justice system, there are two sides.
You don't worry about that. I get it. All right. So.
My penis could very well look like this.
Nope. Pointy.
Hmm?
Pointy.
Well, you got to taper it at the end a little bit.
Like you know how Chinese women bind their feet? Is that how you do that?
Penis binding.
I see. You can keep your $50. It's gross.
There's a lot of guys into penis binding, by the way.
God.
It's a sport.
You know, I don't get the rings.
I don't get the whole...
The London Fire Brigade put out a thing, and I wish I could find the tweet, but...
I'm guessing these are firemen in London.
The London Fire Brigade.
Okay.
Put out a thing talking about how they need everybody to be careful because, you know, tonight is... the night when they get the most calls for cutting those rings off of people's peckers.
Oh, Valentine's Day, you mean? Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if there's a lot of, they get a lot of emergencies with the anal and certain things in the anus on Valentine's Day.
I don't know. I mean, I assume that's a squad call, and so probably.
What I'm wondering is, what made his mind go to that?
I don't know.
I mean, if you're part of the London Fire Brigade, you'd rather, you know, get a kitty out of a tree
than a half a zucchini out of somebody's ass.
Well, that's not that high up. I mean, there's only so many places that shit can go. You just reach up there and get it out.
Fucking gerbils are dangerous.
Well, they'll bite you.
Yeah, they will. Fucking gerbils.
But yeah, they have to go in with, like, I don't know, jaws of life or something and get those rings off people's penises.
Well, you know, because...
Or your penis can become necrotic and die.
Dead penis.
Decaying penis.
Even Viagra won't help that
no.
shit.
You know, popsicle sticks might.
Then I had you're a, subject to penis shaming, Colonel.
Well, then it's deserved.
Actually, I have a...
Chuck has a story.
No, just I have a habit of losing wedding rings.
Things up your ass?
No, not things up my ass. I lose my wedding ring a lot.
You're Jerry Gergich.
And your
Jerry
wallet. Gergich.
And my wallet.
You're Jerry fucking Gergich.
And
that's
your
who
phone.
You are from Parks and Rec. You're Jerry goddamn Gergich.
And your phone.
Well, I lose shit. So anyway, Renee bought me a titanium wedding ring.
Uh-huh.
That's they use that on the space shuttle.
And my friend, who is a paramedic, said, absolutely do not wear that. Because if you break your finger and your finger swells up, we can't cut that off at the hospital. We don't have tools at the hospital to cut that off. We'd have to remove
story? I know I understand they have to cut your finger off to
They wouldn't have to cut your finger off. They'd have to flay all the skin off your finger to get the ring off. And then take the ring off and then do skin grafts.
Yeah.
Couldn't they just put soak it in some soap or water?
If you break your finger, though, it's not going to work. If you break your finger swells up. It won't matter.
Oh.
I use soap and water. I used suntan oil one time. I got a horseshoe stuck around my neck, Demi. We was at a party, a July 4th party, and I was sitting. These guys was all playing horseshoes, and I didn't know anybody. It was a friend of Renee's, and we went to every year, and they were real uppity people, you know? And I'm sitting in one of those beach chairs.
Uppity people defined as anybody not on the west side.
Yeah, it was out in Sims Township.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I told Renee before we go, I was
probably employed and everything.
They're employed.
I got to listen
to cars
one
in the yard.
401k.
No cars in the yard.
These are motherfuckers always building a new house. Always building a new house, no matter who you talk to. And they always talk about
sons
open floor plans and whatnot and a golf game. And I told Renee, I don't want to go, but I went anyway. So I'm sitting in a beach chair talking to this guy. And, you know, the beach chairs sit real low to the ground.
Right.
And
it's amazing.
These guys are throwing horseshoes. Well, you know how sometimes it'll miss and they'll roll end over end?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know how people
rolled,
miss in horseshoes.
Yeah.
One rolled toward me.
Right.
And came to me. And this was an amazing feat of hand-eye coordination, Timmy. Mm-hmm. I snatched this horseshoe up, jabbed it on my neck, rolled out back off my chair, and said, oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me.
So you made an ass of yourself.
I thought it was pretty funny. Now, where it got difficult is, you know how they got those little bobs on the end?
Yes.
Well, I got the thing on my neck.
And they're there to weed out, it's a survival of the fittest kind of thing.
This is a true story, the Mrs. Colonel can verify this.
It's anti-retard it's an anti-retard device.
When it came time to get the horseshoe off my neck,
uh-huh.
I couldn't get it off my neck. So they're all awkwardly waiting for me to get it off. And
it's
Renee's
kind of goth,
like,
though, man.
And Renee's like,
how
you know,
fat
come
was
on.
His neck?
And I was like, come on. Renee, I'm not lying. I can't get this motherfucker off my neck. It took like 3-4 people and a bunch of suntan lotion and them scooching
Meanwhile,
skin.
The owner of the horseshoes weren't going to let you leave the party.
I was staying there. It wasn't a lucky horseshoe. But anyway, it was one of those. I don't think we went to the party the next year, to be honest with you. But
no, you didn't go to the party next year. Renee went out shopping.
It was a.
They probably weren't invited, be my guess.
I'm telling you, it was a feat unknown to man. I mean, snatch a. It was rolling. I grabbed
no,
it in
don't
a one
do that.
Motion.
You're right.
I jabbed it on my neck, flipped over in the back of my chair, and said, "Oh no, help me, Lord, help me."
So that's your answer when you go to, you know, like these people wear shoes when they go into restaurants. You know,
these are
their
the
roads. Wait a minute, their roads are all marked and halfway straight. they can read. So your solution to not looking like an ignorant hillbilly is to throw a horseshoe across your neck. Mission accomplished, dude.
It was funny when it happened.
I bet it wasn't.
It was funny to me.
I bet they were all looking at you going, what the
First of
fuck?
All, if you're playing horseshoes, you're not all that highfalutin.
No, that's my whole point. And they weren't even good at horseshoes. They weren't, you know, they were.
They just wanted to play horseshoes to make you feel included.
We don't play horseshoes maybe on the west side.
No, maybe they cornhole.
We're cornholers.
You are cornholers on the west side. But maybe that's what they were trying to do. You don't know.
Let's go back to Bridie Murphy. Yeah. This conversation
We've
is
had enough
me.
Chuck time. Jesus, God.
It happened.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it was savaged by the critics within months of the story's release in 1956. It had managed something of a rebound among reincarnationists over the years who had been able to punch holes in the skeptics' best explanations for the mysterious Bridie Murphy apparent recall of a full life lived in the 19th century Ireland. Even the Dr. Johann Stevenson, considered by many the most skeptical, practical, and objective of the reincarnationist investigators, accepts the Bridie Murphy case as credible, despite the decades of debate that has raged around it. Understandably impressed, Mr. Bernstein went on to write a book detailing the woman's remarkable story, which became a national bestseller upon its release in January of 1956. As soon as the book became a number one seller, it came under attack. It didn't take long for the scientific and religious communities to notice that within weeks of Mr. Bernstein's books hitting the shelves, objections to the story emerged. The criticism came primarily from three camps. First, from the religious detractors who considered reincarnation incompatible with their Christian beliefs. Second, from the medical and scientific community who questioned both the validity of hypnosis itself as a tool for accessing subconscious memories, as well as the idea of life after death in general. And finally, from the press, who challenged the supposed evidence designed to bolster the credibility of the story. While the religious opponents attacked from a biblical standpoint and the medical and scientific communities worked from the premise that it all lacked empirical evidence, it was the press that proved to be the most damaging to Miss...
Tease.
Okay, her claims. Doing their own digging, they were the ones who, writing through a series of damning exposés, torpedoed Mr. Bernstein's book and reduced the Bridie Murphy story from that of a metaphysical mystery to a textbook case of cryptomnesia.
Cryptomnesia?
Cryptomnesia.
She's going to tell us what it is, right?
I'm going to try and tell you what it is.
Okay.
Cryptomnesia occurs when a forgotten memory returns without it being recognized as such by the subject, who believes it is something new and original, much like the story you just told.
Yes.
It is a memory bias, whereas a person may falsely recall generating a thought, an idea, or a song.
Colonel falsely recalls having a large penis.
What is your fixation with my penis?
I have none. I have no fixation with your penis.
I'm just speaking out against penis shaming. I don't think that was right for kids to do it to you. And you
kids
suppressed.
Didn't do
obviously,
it.
You suppressed that. You're a little.
Are we
going to
be doing this on podcast now?
You're a little defensive. That's all I'm saying. No. This is a one-day story. Go ahead, Brent.
It is not a deliberate attempt by a subject to mislead.
So I'm making a declaration.
Oh, God damn.
On our Facebook page, all references to the Colonel's small penis will be deleted. I'm an admin now, damn it.
See, that's your fault, Tim.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Brandy.
You gave the little dick kid power, and now he's going to, like,
He's got to have, you know, it's an extension of his penis, right? He has penis
See
envy.
What happened?
He has penis envy.
I've got page envy. I've got admin envy.
You did that.
All okay, right. I'm sure the colonel is of, you know.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Kitty,
Nope. Put that away. Put it away. Put it down. I'm not looking at it. I'm not touching it. Just put it down. No, put it down.
Just touch it, devil. No. Just touch it.
I already did.
Continue, Brandy. Continue, Brandy. I'm sure you've done something illegal there.
Me?
No, him.
Oh, well, probably. I think he's besmirched the picture of the Washington Monument. Now I can't even go visit. So it wasn't the fact that there was no written record of either a bridey.
I will say the Washington Monument is not Jewish.
It is not. I don't like. I do not like that point. I don't like the point on the end. I don't like that.
You know what I hate about the Washington Monument?
No.
I hate that sumbitch because you ever been to Washington, D.C. walking around?
I lived in Washington for a while.
You can. It seems like you're looking around and you're trying to figure out where you're at and you're like, oh, it's only, you know, just to the right of the Washington Monument.
That's a long haul down there.
And it looks like it's close all the time.
It is not.
But it's not.
Yeah. The White House to Capitol Hill, that's a long haul.
Yeah.
And then people that, like, walk all the stairs to get to the top.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fuck those sons of bitches. Yeah. That's crazy.
They got
an
elevator, but I wouldn't even get an elevator.
No, it always breaks down. All right. So, let's see. It wasn't the fact that there was no written record of a bridey or actually a Bridget, for which bridey is a common nickname. That's stupid. Or for her parents or her husband, all of which Mr. Bernstein acknowledged
in
his books.
We can start calling Bridget Clavey bridey.
Bridey. That was the most damning. Record keeping in the 19th century, in 19th century Ireland, was notoriously bad and considering the commonality of the names Murphy and McCarthy, such a lack of physical evidence was understandable. What critics had the most success with was delving into Virginia's past, where they made the following discoveries about her. As a girl growing up in Chicago in the 1920s, Virginia had a neighbor by the name of Bridie Corkle, whose maiden name was Murphy. The researchers claim that this was a subconscious origin of the name Bridie Murphy. Researchers suggested that for a time, Virginia lived with an aunt of Irish descent who apparently regaled the impressionable young girl with tales of Ireland. These stories were subsequently forgotten by the young girl but remained as hidden memories that were later to serve as the basis for much of the later Bridie Murphy mythology.
Yeah, so they wasn't claiming that she made it up. They were just saying these memories were in her.
They were just there.
Yeah, they were just there.
A Chicago clergyman by the name of Reverend Wally White, whose church Virginia had supposedly attended as a child, admitted that the girl had proven especially precocious and had a notable interest in all things Irish. He was a major source of information to the reporters of the Chicago American in writing their series of exposés debunking her story. First of all, the Reverend Wally White.
Mm-hmm. Wally White.
Wally White.
Wally White.
Yeah.
Come on now.
The Reverend Wally White.
Hashtag blessed. Virginia supposedly learned how to speak in an Irish brook and performed Irish jigs from a teacher named something or another, I can't say, in Chicago when she was 12 years old.
Can you dance a jig, Colonel?
I can dance a jig.
Nope.
They call me Mr. Colonel Jangles.
Call you Mr. Colonel Jangles. Apparently, Miss Virginia had a considerable gift. Don't stand up and start dancing. Had a considerable gift for acting and dancing, elements
busting
of which
move over here
would later play a dramatic role for her Bridie Murphy persona. Bridie Murphy remembered having a brother who died in infancy. According to the first expose, Virginia also had a brother who was stillborn, which undoubtedly served as the source for Bridie's memories of losing her brother. There was no evidence of a Father John Gorman or a St. Teresa's Catholic Church in Belfast, at which Bridie and her husband were apparently married, existing at the time Bridie supposedly lived.
You're telling me there's no St. Teresa Church in Belfast?
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
Existing at the time that Bridie supposedly lived. Now there's probably 108 of them in Belfast. Yeah. Like
they
Starbucks.
Probably were at
there's
a time.
St. Teresa in the west side where I'm at.
Of course there is.
There's 38 Catholic churches.
Because you all
block.
Need all the religion you can get over there.
Well, they got the colonel over there.
Well,
the
pray,
Reverend Colonel.
Pray for marked roads. Bridie herself described herself.
Pray to survive being struck by a horseshoe.
Yeah.
You should do that.
That was in Sims Township. That was in the uppity part of town.
All right.
The uppity part.
Putting on airs.
They move the cars out of the yard.
You know what I don't like? I do not like people who wear shoes with no socks.
What kind of shoes with no socks?
What do you
socks?
Feel about Any men kind of who shoes. Wear sweaters over their shoulders? Not.
Don't like that either. Don't like that. If you're going to put a pair of shoes on, put a pair of footies on, put something on.
So you wear shoes with no socks all the time.
Yeah, but you're a woman.
He's talking about men that I'm look preppy about, is what he's talking yeah, about. Yeah, the men. Like penny loafers.
Boat shoes. He's got a boner for boat shoes.
No, boat shoes I can live with. But you put a pair of penny loafers on, put a pair of goddamn. If you got pants and you got a pair of penny loafers on, put a goddamn pair of socks on.
It's always
saying. That's just stupid.
It's always saying.
That's just stupid. I don't know what you're trying to pull with that. It ain't comfortable on your feet. It makes your feet smell
all
funky.
And you got a sweater wrapped around your shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, with a little alligator on it. Get the hell out of here. Coming at me with those penny loafers with no feet. Yeah,
no. Shoot socks Mr. on. Fancy Dress.
Yeah.
First of all,
Mr. Fancy.
The West Side people don't even wear shoes most.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
To the tacky ass people with the little y'all blackberries
you
on
all,
the holsters.
You're just pissy because y'all can't afford penny loafers.
Blackberries.
Oh, blackberries even. Wow.
They even sell blackberries anymore?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, Secret Service and everybody. By the way, well, right. Secret Service is supposed to carry them.
Continue, please.
Okay. Bridey described herself as growing up in a wooden house. Mm-hmm. At a time when wood was scarce in Ireland and rarely used as building materials. Bridie also recalled scratching paint off the bedpost of her iron bed as a child, years before iron beds had been introduced to Ireland. There were a number of other objections and inconsistencies as well, most having to do with some of the phraseology she used, as well as other historical inconsistencies. The conclusion, then, by the researchers, was that Virginia was the unwitting victim of a form of self-delusion of cryptomnesia. Cryptomnesia. It's an awful word. Just as much of the public had been quick to accept Bridie Murphy's story at face value, they were equally as quick to accept the verdict of the professionals that it was much ado about nothing. Within months, then, the debunkers had successfully destroyed Mr. Bernstein's credibility, and the subject quickly faded from public interest, along with serious interest in the subject of reincarnation in general.
So it was a fad that kind of faded away after this.
Book sales and interest in the topic soon declined, and it became generally accepted that Bridie Murphy was either a figment of Virginia's imagination or simply a gimmick to sell books.
Now, unbeknownst to most people here, Mr. Berenstein, much like the Colonel's penis,
nope.
Did not take to having his reputation or his reliability sullied without a fight.
Mm-hmm. Especially by his friends.
So aided by a reporter for the Denver Post named William Barker,
who first ran the Bridey Murphy story in 1953 and, assisted by a number of allies, Mr. Berenstein fought to set the record straight, much as we did this morning.
Of course.
Regarding the colonel's penis. Several months of investigation, including a careful study of Miss Ty's background, revealed that the debunkers have been slightly less than honest in their facts. Who's that remind
you
of?
Fake news, Timmy.
Fake news.
So these are they're debunking now the debunkers.
Yeah. Right.
Sit down, Phil. Quit asking questions.
Yeah, that's enough.
All right.
So, they have been less than honest, Timmy. Who'd that remind you of, devil?
I don't know anybody
Mr.
at this
Drippy
table.
Mr. Drippy Dick, I think.
Mr. Drippy Dick.
Continue, Colonel.
Concerning the woman's upbringing.
That's not going to catch
on. I think
on.
I saw that on the side of
no,
a bus.
We're going to keep using it until it catches on, Timmy. You're going to do this to me. We're going to fight libel with libel here, Timmy.
All right.
We're presenting
it
a united
on a
front.
Bus in the subway stations.
You were all over that thread.
So I know, because it was hilarious.
Colonel, we need to get together.
First of all, you two are always together against me. I don't even know how many times you all
know,
called
that's
me.
What
we
got
need
me.
To get together.
You just came out of the blue at me like
Andy
that.
Andy Bay. Furman Bay.
What is mercenaries? I'm like a mercenary. Wherever the money
is,
that's
and
where
I was
I'm
thinking
at.
About this because it's a shame because you was talking about, and this is unrelated. We're going
of
back
course
to
it is.
We're going back to Chrissy here.
Uh-huh. Chrissy's history.
I know, but you said she might need money and might need money for gas and electric or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This just occurred to me that she could be the perfect girl. Because you know what? Ain't nobody, Timmy, give a blowjob like somebody that ain't got money for pizza.
That's true. He's got a point.
What an insight.
You ever had sex with the pizza man?
No.
Devil.
No.
Never, yeah, you never had
have
any
you
show
sex
up
with
say,
your economics professor.
Oh my God. Hush up, Drippy Dick.
You know, she was all over that. No, 70-year-old.
I mean, he was not 70.
Pocket protect and wear.
He was not 70.
You think he was boxers or brief, girl?
No, what would you do if he died while you was in the middle of the act?
He was 35 years old. Mm-hmm. It was not
35.
He was probably 35 years old at the come on.
At the time
it's
he was
okay
35.
That he was old. It ain't a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, at the time he was like,
you don't,
I mean,
you don't have to be ashamed.
Old men need loving too.
Yeah.
Clearly. Clearly, as I sit here with the
well,
two of you.
But the question is, did she see him, like, did she, was it only for the grade, or did she just show up, like, when he's, you know, he got his pension, or, I mean.
Yeah. I will be your father for your future.
No. Oh. See, that's wrong.
Did you have daddy issues?
No, I do not have daddy issues.
Granddaddy issues?
No, I do not, or I would be going after you.
Then why did you sleep with the old guy?
Yeah.
He wasn't old. Shut the fuck up and read the goddamn story.
She had to get that C+.
Oh, my God. Drippy Dick. Be quiet.
You could have. I mean, don't you feel, though, if you were going to go that far with the teacher? And did you do it in this classroom?
Because you know she didn't. She didn't do that with the sociology professor because that's an easy grade.
Yeah, that's the easy one.
Yeah, she had to go with economics.
You know she did it with the physics teacher.
And the physics,
that was a woman.
You know, a physics teacher. She probably did.
Physics teacher.
She tried to do the reverse cowgirl and everything with him.
There was handcuffs, whipped cream, all kinds of shit. Now. So did you do it in the classroom?
I'm questioning the validity of your degree.
Yeah, that's what I said. She slept her way to the top. How do you think she got this job here?
You know, now here's my question, though. Does Timmy give us the residuals that he gets from his face being plastered in the subway stations and on buses and billboards?
Don't let this be you.
Don't let this be you. Stop chlamydia in its tracks.
Screaming when he pees.
Yeah. Stop chlamydia in its tracks.
It's like razor blades.
I bet it is. God.
Okay, Colonel, continue with Bridey Murphy.
I'm sorry. This is an interesting story here. We should stick to the facts.
Yes.
Try it.
So the debunkers, he was out to debunk the debunkers.
That's
so
a bitch.
They were not, they've been less than honest concerning the woman's upbringing and were proven repeatedly to be either flat out wrong.
The debunkers.
In what they said. Or were frequently caught portraying the opinions of air quotes here, experts, as they thought they were irrefutable facts. And when we're doing these scripts, when we put air quotes on stuff, the people can't get that. I had to do my air quote.
Air bunnies.
Thank you, Colonel.
Writing a supplement to later reprints of Mr. Berenstein's book, The Berenstein's Bear. Well, you think he did the Berenstein Bears?
No.
Okay. Mr. Barker successfully debunked every point the debunkers had made, using careful investigation and corroborative facts to make his case that the Murphy story, while not irrefutable proof of reincarnation, was not mere nonsense. Some of the more interesting discoveries he made were as follows. Virginia Tighe herself was born in the Midwest in 1923 and had never been to Ireland, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even speak with a hint of Irish accent.
When we could hear her voice, had you pulled that soundbite from YouTube?
Yeah, I could have done that.
Yeah, but you didn't.
But you did not.
No, I was busy.
Clearly.
She did, in fact, have a neighbor in Chicago by the name of Bertie Corkle, who had indeed grown up. However, it was in Ireland, but it was never clearly established what her maiden name was.
Yeah,
in fact, Murphy, nor was it obvious how Miss Tighe would have learned either her first or maiden names as a girl in any case. She was not a close associate. Miss Tighe barely remembered her, according to her own account. Plus, children rarely were privy to what adults would have been considered personal information, such as first or maiden names of non-related adults. They didn't just give that kind of information out back then.
No, it's like giving your PIN number out.
That's before Anonymous could come in and get your mama's.
I think the point is that, you know, they're breaking down some of these stories that the debunkers made a strong case based upon some flimsy evidence too. It was almost just as flimsy as, you know.
It was fake evidence.
Yeah.
Additionally, if Miss Corkle was a source for Bridie Murphy, why would Miss Tighe have used her maiden name rather than her married name?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hmm.
Yeah, why not just use the name she knew her by?
Wouldn't it have been more consistent if indeed Miss Corkle was a source for Virginia Tighe's past life persona that she would have referred to herself as Bertie Corkle rather than Murphy? Because everybody knows Murphy's got bad reputations. You'd rather be a Corkle.
Continue, Colonel.
Additionally, Miss Corkle was not from County Cork, as Bridie Murphy claimed to have been, nor had she ever even been to Belfast. She grown up in County Mayo in Western Ireland, right next to County Ketchup and just south of County Mustard. A region of Ireland Bridie Murphy made no mention of during her detailed regression sessions.
Yeah.
Regression sessions.
There you go.
She was having regression sessions. That's what I feel like I'm doing when we come in here.
Well,
regressing back to the third grade.
Yes.
Again, if Bertie Corkle was the source of Bridie Murphy, why the abrupt and inexplicable change in locales? Inexplicable meaning unexplainable.
Right.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Don't understand it. Don't get it.
Thank you.
It makes no sense.
Do you think Brandy understood that?
Was she playing Candy Crush?
Yeah.
I'm not playing Candy Crush. I'm listening to you drone on and on and on and
Continue with this fascinating story of Brandy Murphy.
And on.
Miss Ty's Irish aunt, again, air quotes,
mm-hmm.
Marie, who had lived with the family briefly when Miss Tighe was 18 years old, was not from Ireland, but was born in New York City and lived most of her life in Chicago.
Yeah, and this is the lady that the debunker said had such an impression on her because she had lived in Ireland and regaled her with tales of Ireland. She never lived in Ireland at all.
Now, contrary to what skeptics had maintained, she did not regale Miss Tighe with stories of Ireland, simply because she was mute.
No, you're making that.
And Miss Tighe did not understand sign language.
No, come on.
It's hard to sign with an accent anyway.
Tell the truth.
Okay, that's fake news. Miss Tighe
Phil.
She did not regale Miss Ty with stories of Ireland simply because she had never been to the place nor had any particular interest in it. In any case,
unlike me in this podcast,
18 years of age.
No particular interest at all.
Hurtful.
18 years is a bit old for one to acquire hidden memories. God damn, I got another page after this.
Do you want some help? There's a lot of words.
There's a lot of words. You all do right. This page, devil.
Had Virginia actually heard her aunt speak of Ireland, this should have been easily recalled in later years, if not the specifics, at least the fact that she had spoken of the place, implying that either there were no stories for Virginia to remember, or that she had been less than honest when later asked about them. Additionally, even if we accept the possibility that Virginia's Irish aunt had told her stories of Ireland, where would the aunt have gotten such a considerable amount of richly detailed information, especially considering she'd never been to Ireland herself? She would need to have acquired it from somewhere. Further, even if she had read about Ireland somewhere and inadvertently passed the information on to an apparently easily impressionable 18-year-old girl, how did she accrue such a wealth of little-known historical facts and the unique details Bridie Murphy was later to reveal? Obviously, someone had to have done their research with no one being the wiser for it, and then that same someone had to have lied about that fact, a contention which has never been validated.
And in research at the time, I don't know if you remember, Brandy, but I know, Chuck, you probably remember in college, when you had to research something, it meant not just pulling up your laptop.
No, I remember. You had to go to the library and get encyclopedias and books.
You had to know the Dewey Decimal System.
We were just talking about the Dewey Decimal System.
It was a grand effort to do any type of even deal. Surface research.
Right.
Now you can do it on your phone, but back in the day it was very difficult.
There was no Wikipedia.
Nope.
It turns out Virginia had never heard of the Reverend Wally White until he showed up on her doorstep some months after the release of the book, offering to pray for her.
Now, this is a guy who said he knew her as a child, and, and she had an interest in Ireland. And,
yeah, nice man of the cloth. Not surprisingly, he went on to be a major contributor to the Chicago American article exposing Miss... what'd you say? How'd you say your last name?
T or Ty.
Okay.
Virginia.
Exposing Virginia's supposed past, despite having never known the woman as a child at all. Clearly, if this was the case, the Reverend White was a self-imposed plant designed to discredit the story for the obvious reason that reincarnation was incompatible with his religious beliefs and therefore a threat that needed to be eradicated.
And or he could he was just putting himself into the story. Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of Zsa Zsa's husband, Prince Vaughn, whatever the fuck his name was, that all of a sudden popped up. I'm the father of Anna Nicole's kid. Prince. Is he a prince? Maybe he's both. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the point is that he was a douche face.
He just put himself into the story.
Fucking douche canoe, for real. Let's see. There is no evidence the American knew the good reverend was mounting his own one-man disinformation program, but likely simply accepted his word that he had known the woman based upon the presumption that he was a man of the cloth, and that made him unlikely to lie.
Oh. Rape little boys.
Yeah. Well, you know where that's gotten us.
Yeah.
Virginia did not like elocution lessons, did not take elocution lessons from a Miss Saulnier in Chicago when she was 12 years old, but according to later investigators who managed to locate and interview the woman, Virginia apparently demonstrated no particular gift for acting and never learned Irish jigs from her, but only contemporary dance numbers.
So she didn't dance a jig?
She did not.
Colonel can dance a jig.
I'll get up and dance you a jig right now, devil.
Nope. Let's see. Though Bridie Murphy claimed to have had a brother who died in infancy, thus paralleling her childhood memory of Virginia's childhood memory of having a stillborn brother, this proved to be completely erroneous. Virginia had no such ill-fated sibling, never claimed to have had one. Where this information came from is anyone's guess. So we're just making shit up about this woman.
Yeah, we're making stuff up at this point.
Well, admittedly, it's fake news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, admittedly, there is no
alternate
evidence.
Alternate facts.
Clearly, it's Twilight Zone. While admittedly there is no evidence of either a Father John Gorman or St. Teresa's Catholic Church in Belfast, it has to be remembered that there were literally hundreds of small parishes peppered throughout Belfast in the early 19th century. While larger churches would likely be found in the public record, it would not be difficult to imagine smaller parishes flourishing for a time before dying out, moving, or being renamed without leaving a trace in the public record they ever existed.
Now, that happens today.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be that far out.
While much has been made of Bridie's supposed wooden house, a scarce building material at the time, it has to be remembered that her home was apparently in a meadowed, forested area outside of Cork itself, which might have made a wooden house, or at least a partially wooden one, at the very least, feasible.
All right, Chuck, do you think you can handle your one page left?
I got one more page. I got to do the shout-outs, too. That's a lot of talking here.
I know.
The instrument, you know.
Yes, I talk a lot.
You're wanting to.
I know, imagine.
You're wanting to do
no,
a
it's
podcast
the reading
every
that
day.
Fucks him up.
It's like asking a fish to swim.
It's the reading, I'm telling you.
Continue, Colonel.
There's also some confusion as to whether she said on the tape that she lived in a wood house or a good house. Her accent was at times difficult to make out, and the tapes being produced on early recording machines were not of the highest sound quality. They were not like you're getting from us
right
now.
Right, correct.
I mean, this is studio quality
this
shit.
This is good equipment here.
Oh, Quincy Jones is looking at our shit like, oh, damn, I wish I
if
had that.
If you'd speak into the mic, he would
be. Yeah. Michael Jackson would have done Thriller on this one.
Uh-huh. Continue, Colonel.
Now, the fact that Bridie also recalled scratching paint off the bedpost on Iron Bed as a child years before Iron Beds had been introduced to Ireland is also a non-starter. Ooh, nice one, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
I like that.
Thank you.
Glad I took this page. That means fake news, basically. Non-starter, fake news.
Who are you talking to?
Just our audience in general.
He's talking down to you. You're talking down to me.
I'm talking to our audience.
You're talking,
non-starter.
So you're talking down to our audience?
No, he's, he's talking down to you.
You're okay. Talking down to our audience?
Okay, it was you.
Careful.
Okay, I take it back. The devil's very smart. Later research, she would have been smarter if she would have just studied for economics test instead of blowing.
You know, first of all, let's just say for the sake of argument, you know, why would I not sleep with my professor? That appears to be the smart thing to do. Then I don't have to study. I don't have to cram for exams. Then I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but you have to bang an old guy, 70.
He wasn't old.
Yeah, he had to lift his shrivelly balls up off the ground.
Really?
He had to wait.
This coming from you, who feels the need, like some people, feels the need to address every little slight that you get by pulling in pictures of the Washington Monument.
Penis, damn it.
I'm thinking, too, like, you know, they're in the throes of fat passion, but he has to take a break because he has to get him a glass of Metamucil.
He uses his inhaler.
What's Metamucil? Is that what cows take?
Metamucil.
Yeah. Do cows take that to shit?
I'm just saying.
You're just saying what, motherfucker? Because let me tell you something. That little bitch that was on your phone yesterday. That little bitch that was on your phone yesterday, talk about an old man going after some young piece of ass.
No, we broke it off.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was devastating.
That was hard, especially around Valentine's Day. You know?
Yeah. Well, now you don't have to get her anything. Thank God you dodged that bullet.
You're going
to
be back with her tomorrow.
No.
She'll find some other lonely old man to lift his nuts up off the ground.
She'll find some economic professor.
Maybe she will, and that's fine. He will understand supply and demand. Unlike you, who won't pay your fucking cable bill.
I got my own cable bill to pay.
Motherfucker, please. You pay more fucking Strange Tales cable bills than anybody I've ever seen. Oh, you need your car note paid this month? Okay, sweetie, here you go. You need your cable paid.
I don't know why you're so harsh to me. All I want to know is what happened to Bridie Murphy. That's all I care about.
Jesus.
Not you and your 70-year-old economics professor that you're banging. You want to blow an old man? That's entirely up to you.
It's all wrinkly.
Sperm, man.
Coming
from
sperm old
men. Must have been sitting around.
Coming from old men. This is what I'm getting.
That's
coming
sperm,
from your
you know,
two wrinkly ass gray haired motherfuckers here.
Vintage. It's vintage.
Oh, it's probably sitting there from mid 70s or something.
From when he had his last key party.
Disco wasn't in style. What?
Get a grip.
Did he have belt bottom pants?
No, he did not have belt bottom pants.
Did he have a flat butt?
Why? Are you hoping to find a brother?
I'm just wondering what, you know, what you saw in him besides a C+.
C+.
I mean, you...
What the fuck ever C+?
How did you negotiate your grade? That's what I want to know. I mean, could you have done better? I mean, could you negotiate it for a better grade? I mean, like... What was the
you cocksuckers? I don't know where you get off thinking I got a C+ in fucking
economics.
It was
like dirty flour off the table.
Well, dirty flour. First of all, dirty flour is always off the table.
Would that got you a B-? I'm just saying if you would go there. I know you didn't, but I was saying if you had done that, would you have got a better grade?
You know, I do have a brain in my fucking head. Although now I'm questioning all my life choices.
I question my life choices every morning.
Let's talk about Bridie Murphy, shall we, Colonel?
Well, later research demonstrated that while iron beds, now remember we was back on the iron bed being a non-starter.
Mm-hmm.
Later research demonstrated that while iron beds were not as common in Ireland at the beginning of the 19th century, they were not unheard of either. Since Cork was a major Irish seaport that served as a conduit,
Colonel?
That's perfect. That's conduit is like two, it's a like a... pathway.
That's how she's not paying attention.
For a large number of imports. It is not inconceivable that her father may have been able to procure such an iron bed.
He was a barrister.
Even at an early date. Other objections and inconsistencies later proved to be largely red herrings as well, leaving much of the skeptic's case on the floor in tatters, much like the devil after she got her C+. Additionally, Mr. Barker noted that two of Belfast's merchants, Bridie named, a Mr. Carrington and a Mr. Farr, were found listed on a registrar of Belfast merchants.
Interesting.
From that era.
The plot thickens.
Straining the chances of coincidence to its limits. Even the coin Bridie named, a tuppence, that was originally dismissed as non-existent, turned out to be in common use during that time period, Timmy.
Hmm.
In all, while there was some evidence of the Bridie Murphy saga that proved to be unbelievable and unverifiable, and a number of questions that need to be asked, for the most part, Miss Ty's story proved to hold up better under scrutiny than did those of the skeptics. A point that has been largely lost on most people.
Yeah, it had this, you know, when it first came out, it was a big thing, right? People believed it. And then the skeptics and then people did the research. They debunked it. And then that's where people, it kind of dropped it. People kind of dropped it. So when they went back and researched the debunkers and found that a lot of their claims were unsubstantiated, that didn't make the news. It was kind of, you know, it had already passed. The moment had passed.
Time had passed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while the Bridie Murphy story is not the strongest case of reincarnation on record, it's not the weakest either. What's most curious about this, Timmy, is that even though the debunkers themselves were debunked, so that's a double negative, so that means they were bunked, from which they have never answered back.
Yeah.
So,
you know what's doing this research, and this was, you know, that occurred in the 1950s. And doing the research, I was looking at websites, and I came across this debunk website, you know, like early, it was an early, like snoops.com.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Snoops, but it was
Snopes.
Early. But anyway, it was like in the
Snoops.
Mid, it was like in the mid, Snoop. It was in like in the mid 80s or something.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy wrote basically all the evidence that you gave about the debunkers, the first time they debunked it, right? And he wrote all that evidence up. And he got a response from Morty Bernstein.
Told him to go fuck himself?
No, and this guy says, well, first of all, I didn't know you were still alive.
See, yeah.
Because he was like, I don't know how he was, but it was, you know, he was still kicking around in the late 80s.
There you go. Rock on, Morty.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Now, nevertheless, the conclusions from the efforts to debunk the story stuck, and today it is widely accepted that the story was just bogus, much like the story of the Colonel's tiny penis.
Now, that's going to stick.
Fake news.
I think that's going to stick.
Sit down, Phil. Fake news.
Yeah. I think that's going to stick.
Skeptics continue to accept the objections raised by the debunkers today without a second thought, even though you show them pictures of said debunked unit. Mm-hmm. Known as Virginia Morrow after a later marriage, Ty became a devout Catholic. She was never convinced that she had been Bridie Murphy, but retained an open mind until her death in July of 1995. Miss Berenstein, who gave up hypnotism after discovering Bridie, sold his business in 1970, prospered in the stock market, became a major Pueblo philanthropist, donating land for the city's convention center and arts center, and gave millions to the University of Southern Colorado. So
very nice guy.
He was not just some little carny guy, yes, coming through, you know, trying to pull one over on people. He spent the rest of his life defending his books against critics. He once shot a man in Reno.
No. Get on to the story.
Okay.
Just to watch him die.
Yeah. But a man was saying his book was false. But the public was unwilling to give the story a second look. Maury Berenstein died on April 2nd, 1999, at his apartment in Pueblo, Colorado. He was 79 years old.
All right. So, Brandy, your final thoughts on the search for Bridie Murphy.
You know, I say let her have it. There's nothing wrong in believing in something different.
Okay, so you're open-minded about it.
I try to be.
And, Colonel, your thoughts on Bridie Murphy.
I think she just read a book. Somebody gave her a book about Ireland. She made some shit up.
You think it was you don't think it was repressed memory or anything? You think it was intentional?
You know what? Memories are strange, strange things to me. You know, have you ever had a memory of something that happened to you? That something that occurred, and you find out later that it didn't really occur. And now I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
One time the boys was in the car, and Tanner was wanting to know why the Huns, not why the Huns, why the nuns invaded all of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
The nuns.
Because they're ruthless.
Taylor said.
Taylor the nun.
Taylor
was the worst.
Well, Taylor said, that was the Huns, you idiot. Not the Huns, right, but the Huns.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, that was very funny.
Right.
Now, as I recall, it seems like I was there when that was said.
Mm-hmm.
But Renee came home and told me the story. And in your mind, you picture how they're sitting in the van and, you know, how they'd be picturing. So years later, when you're remembering this.
Oh, so that's like the Mandela effect you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah, it's where like you have remember, a false memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we were talking about that Christine Chubbuck case that we thought we saw the video when we hadn't.
I don't believe that video that got released is real.
No. But, I mean, we thought before they released one
Everybody
recently.
Everybody thought, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've looked at that video a few times, and here's the thing that's the giveaway from that.
What you're referring to is that there was a video released one day after we released
one day after we did the podcast somebody released it.
The video of Christine Chubbuck
shooting herself.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. Yeah.
And I don't believe it's real, and I'll tell you why I don't believe it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Her body flies into a desk with far too much force.
Mm-hmm.
If she had she shot herself in the side of the head.
Well, it was like in the back of, behind her ear, I think.
Right? Or behind her ear.
Uh-huh.
Her body would have gone limp.
Mm-hmm.
A bullet, you know.
It was a very, she jerked a great deal in the video.
Her body was thrown with so much force that,
And, you know, that's it's a myth when you see these guys getting shot with shotguns and stuff, mm-hmm. getting knocked back 4 feet, because mm-hmm. the laws of physics state that if I was going to knock somebody back 4 feet, that projectile that I would, it would cause me to get knocked back 4 feet by firing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I couldn't. Now, it's different with an artillery shell that explodes,
mm-hmm.
but with a regular bullet, it does not knock you backwards, you okay. know, no matter how powerful.
So you say her emotion was so violent in the video that it
no, the physical reaction of her body once mm-hmm. if she would had she shot herself, what she should have done was gone limp in that chair.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not enough force for there's no gun made that would have thrown her body that with that much force into that
violently,
desk,
yeah.
that violently.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it's pretty graphic, but I tend to believe, I tend to agree with you. I don't think that was the real video.
No, because it would have not been where to come from.
Yeah.
You know, where all of a sudden it just showed up yeah. on YouTube.
A day after we released our podcast.
Yeah.
It was brilliant marketing on our part.
Well, I think it was somebody trying to make us look bad because we said it was.
And there's a movie and a documentary out this year, so I think it's probably related to that. But anyway, Colonel, give us our shout outs.
Our shout outs. Let's start with the lovely Ruth Ann, who's going to be 21 years old.
Happy birthday, Ruth Ann.
And then we go to Tasha and Ophelia.
Hi, Tasha.
Jeff Girdley and Sam Hildebrand. Linda, of course. Linda Middleton.
Yes.
Missy Horton.
Yes.
Britt and Chris and Celine. Dr. Jeff Chestnut. Teresa Slavin. Tommy Boom Boom Boomershine.
Hey, Tommy.
Shonda and Larry. Clark, Diane, and Lisa Trowbridge. Phyllis Munson. Aaron Wentz. Donna Curran. Brian and Lisa Lawton. Olivia Meyer. Katya.
Lovely Katya.
Kate with the C, McCarthy, Bridget Clavey, or Bridie Clavey.
Bridie Clavey, we're going to call her.
Byron Snellings, Denny Mack, William Truax, Amber Krupp, let's see, Trixie, Stephanie Quick.
Casey Hood, by the way, who make sure you include him on our...
I got Casey on my list down here.
Okay, cool.
But we'll do Casey right now, Casey Hood.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. We got Laura O'Reilly, of course, Gabby Lewis, John Cunningham, Tara Bond.
Jean Bond.
Lydia. Our favorite softball player, Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Jeff Appel, Christine Bourgeois, Katie Moorhead, Mary Ray, Marvin Hammond, Andy Volley, Cheryl Musco, Keith Frusty. Becky Mitchell, Vicky Ann Wallace, Steve Miller, Nick and Molly, Nick Starr, Molly Erickson, Natasha Davis, Neil Eagleton, Stewie Benton, Tracy Lynn Busby, how you doing, Tracy? Ali Nett, Christina Hauer, Leah Pangburn, Natalie Parsons, Rebecca Montanle, Michael Eisenhower, Danielle Fredrickson, Andy Sparaccio, Toby Deese, Nancy Jalapeno, Kim Kamikaze, Jennifer Hawkins, Tara Chinchilla, Lindsay McMillan, Sunyana and Eddie Rushing, Yo Handler, Sammy James, Jason Dykes, Amy Payne, Tara Jenkins, let's see, Pete Fulmer, Amber Anderson, Danielle Fredrickson, Christine Dorman. I could be an auctioneer the way I
do. You really right. could.
Little Emmy Waterfall, Susan Angles, Kristen Davidson, Don Gordon, John Gray, Dave Hill, Thomas Tui, TJ Youngblood, Robin Sanchez, Colleen Mattson, Aaron Fowler. How you doing? I love the name Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
If I had another girl, I'd name her Aaron.
Yeah, that's a pretty name.
Allison Shields, Diane from Diane's student, History Goes Bump. Todd Long, Lauren Feller, Ron Ratchke, Lauren Meredith, Stephanie Poling, Leah McAllister, Tamara Cola, Tammy Ennis, Valerie Murray, Kirsten Anderson, Andreasen, I'm sorry, Nancy Weller, Anita Darden, Jessica Winchester,
Carla, lovely Carla Nelson White, Amber Trevino, Angie L., Karen Alden, Norma DiMaggio, Dan Hamer, Andy Spizer, Brandy Weiss. Let's see who we got here. Skip Fayu, Callie, lovely Callie Jones, Ramoni Howard, Kelsey Froh, Jennifer Miller, Marion Buchwald, Jeffrey Dolan, Stacey Lynn, Brenda Deutsch, Liz Evans, Jessica Bishop, Jen Moyer, Michael Daniel, Amelia Roscoe, Maddie Kinnan, Heather Marshall, Heather Poole, Heather Hall, Mark Hammermeister, Jeff Hopkins, John Janke, Mike Tabor, Lise, Kevin Behan, Kim Cambron, Terry Hemsley, lovely Annette Petre, Stephanie Glenn, Christina Hodges, Christina Montana, Maria Barber, Jennifer Potts, Cindy Hamilton, Paul Mampilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lubrano, Brittany Powell, Kelly Colwell, Jennifer Sabota, Lauren Meredith, Nina Instead, Ronnie Rhodes, Sophia Panta, Aaron Shipley, Jay Alford, Holly Wooded, Ali Nett, Deborah Chappelle, Danielle Jones, Brittany Martin, Margot Donahue, Jamie Metcalf, Meg Vansel, Allison Schneider, Sarah Taylor, Nitan Sill, Amber Anderson, Rachel Hummer, Lauren Mayer, Molly Fontenot, Sean DeBoard, Melissa Montoya, another one of our favorite softball players, Timmy, Stacy Gutierrez, Tim Hale, Donna Young, Melanie Young, James Rion, Alan Dobbs, Ann Daza, Carol Nash, Elizabeth Brault, Mark Farnham, Paula Kimes, Chris Swanson, Christina Bachelor, Andrea Odell. I want to say Rob Roy. That's not right.
Probably not.
I know. Mr. Roy. George Hochler, Matt Brookins, Joe Lehman. Of course, we have the Colonel's crew who stands by me through thick and thin, no matter what you say about me, Timmy.
No matter how small your penis is.
Well, they love me for the Colonel, Timmy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Angie Ball, the lovely Nicola, Allie and Charlie, and hopefully Allie got her Valentine's. I sent Allie a Valentine today.
Very nice of you, Colonel.
Well, it was a real, actual heart in a box.
Okay.
That came from some, I don't know where you get real hearts, but
yeah.
I had to go down to the morgue and get one.
They're hard to come by.
Figured she would appreciate that. Sarah Mimosa, Sarah Spaghetti, Jennifer Burdick, Karen Barnes, our friend Karen.
Karen, who's very gracious and always retweets our post on Twitter, as well as Fat Boy Gardner, who's neither fat a boy or
a gardener.
A gardener.
Yeah.
Janet Fitzgerald. Here's somebody that could talk to you about Ireland, Timmy, the lovely, lovely Frances Darton.
Hey, Frances, go and check out Cork, Ireland, and see if you run into any records of Brady
Murphy.
Yeah,
just jump in the car and go to Cork, Ireland for us and see what you find out. But hello, Frances. Jess Williams, I haven't heard from her in a while. Jess, check in, damn it. We get worried about you when we don't hear from you. Amanda Bocce Ball, Shannon, of course, Tiffany, the lovely Jamie Tarantino, Monica D. Agostino, Scotty J., of course, Angela Cobes, Radhika Smith, Liz Keating, the lovely Jennifer Wicks, a New Yorker who's a Southern Belle now, Timmy.
She is very funny. I like Jen.
She might be a little bit insane, I think, Tim, but she's a funny woman. Beautiful Rachel Marie Flynn, Donna Whitmore-Hellman, Maja Zanalka, of course, Jennifer Siemens, who is on Team Colonel, but her mother is not. That's like the Civil War, kind of, you know, how some people turn sides.
I doubt if it's like that.
Tearing families apart.
It's tearing families apart.
I don't think so.
And, of course, if I was Bruce Springsteen, Timmy, do you know who my Clarence Clemens would be?
I don't know. Tell me.
It would be the lovely little Fallon.
Yes.
Beautiful little Fallon,
mascot.
The mascot of the Team Colonel and just a lovely all-around girl, who I said yesterday, just jokingly, when she put that 70-30 thing up.
Yes.
I said, she shamed the team, and I did not. And she called me out on that.
She should have.
Yeah, you were being a dick.
Well, first
of all, a small dick, but a dick.
It would take a lot more than that to shame your team, clearly.
Are you saying that Allie and Charlie can't be shamed? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they're, if they claim to be on your team, then it takes a hell of a lot more than that to shame them.
Yes.
Well, I don't believe you should be sullying such fine people.
I am not sullying them. They're all wonderful people.
They are very wonderful people.
On with the shout-outs, Colonel.
Oh, now listen to him. Now all of a sudden, see, he always here. I want you to read these 365 names, and then I'm going to get impatient while you do it.
Come on, Tiny Dick, let's move it.
Might my advocate retort?
No, you haven't paid me any money. I'm not retorting shit.
I will not finish until you retort.
Come on, let's go.
Lady Beverly, we hope you are feeling better.
Lady Beverly, I hope you're doing well.
And Dottie. Yes.
Dottie, I got three more that you didn't know about.
All right, hit them.
Because I don't have the list.
So please retort.
It's your team. Come on. Let's go.
It is your team.
Look, Drippy Dick.
Come on.
I've done this the best I can.
All right, three more shout-outs.
I got to carry this whole son of a bitch. Huh? Oh, you want to get out? You look at him. Look, for fucking shame now. But Jesus Christ Almighty.
He's got a hot date with Amber.
You're the one who has to leave, so stop it.
I'm not the one bitching.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, Colonel.
I'm done.
All right.
You said you had three more. So you're a liar.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He's a liar. And,
Come on, Drippy Dick. That.
So he's lying, which proves that he has a small dick.
Well. Usually it's how it works.
Yes. Okay, Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages, History Dweebs page and History Dweebs, the podcast, where we interact with all of our listeners and all the folks that we've mentioned here. So join us on History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group.
On iTunes?
Yes, and please leave us a review if you can. If you leave us a positive review, we will give you a special shout-out in our next podcast.
You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow us at HistoryDweebs1, or you can follow the Colonel at Hawkwaters. Hawkwaters, right, Colonel?
Yeah.
I just want to say we've got two new reviews on iTunes, two positive ones. Oaky Lane and MCM 1975 both left us positive reviews, so thank you very much.
Well, that's lovely. And then Stitcher and Libsyn and any of the other podcast hosting sites.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Yep.
We're like gonorrhea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.